Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. I'm Alex Dunn. I've been joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to Leopardstown's card on Sunday. I had to just check what day it is there because all the days just seem to merge into one around Christmas time. It is definitely a Sunday, and it is, Mr. Holding, a very, very good card, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You're right, it doesn't feel like a Sunday.
It doesn't, does it?
completely lost track of what day it is, as you quite rightly pointed out. It's a fantastic day, isn't it? Leopardstown's already been treated to two excellent days. We've seen plenty of spectacular performances. One or two shocks, I must admit. When I've done podcasts sort of like a day and a half in advance or even further in advance, my sort of calculations and plans have rather gone out the window. The ground's been a bit more testing than I anticipated, and we have had plenty of thrills and spills.
We have indeed. Of course, the Lexus Chase is the feature today. A fantastic renewal. Obviously, we've got Bobsworth in there and Lord Windermere, the previous two Cheltenham Gold Cup winners. You've got the likes of Boston Bob in there on his own, who, of course, ran so well in the Cheltenham Gold Cup last year. You've got some interesting ones, the likes of Sam Winner. I mean, you could almost say you wouldn't be surprised if it goes to any of them because they have all shown something. I know some have shown better degrees of form than others, but it, without going too much into it, because we're going to preview it later, it just looks a superb renewal, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. The ingredients are there for a fantastic race with plenty of intrigue and plenty of expectation as well. And as you say, we've got quite a few horses in there thrown into the older brigade, which makes it a really tantalising affair.
Okay, well, we'll dive into the action with the 12:20 then. It's a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. And the market appears to be focusing on two here. Snow Falcon for Noel Mead and Identity Thief for Henry de Bromhead. Do you make it between those two, Andy, or are you looking elsewhere for some sneaky each-way value?
Yeah, there could be a bit of sneaky each-way value in this race. But we'll deal with the front two in the market anyway. Snow Falcon probably just about sets the standard over hurdles, and he's a worthy favourite. It albeit an uneasy one this morning. That run last time out behind Milchian is certainly the best on offer so far. That form of that race hasn't worked out as well as we thought it might. I think the winner's a really nice horse. Willie Mullins' charge will definitely be better in time, particularly when he jumps a fence. I think the step up in triple suit. But the ground's the issue, I think, with Snow Falcon. He's by presenting, and most of his best form has been on a good ground surface, as his offspring's horses often prove. So that's the slight doubt with him, and for that reason I probably wouldn't back him at a very skinny price. Identity Thief looked a really nice horse when he won on his Rules debut. That came at Fairy House in a bumper when he came from a long, long way off the pace to mow down the front-running Tully East in pretty impressive fashion. Henry de Brom has had a very good meeting here so far, so he's obviously got to be high up on the shortlist as well if he takes the hurdling. I'm going to go with Pack the Punch here, however, from an each-way perspective, largely due to the fact that his yard is in spectacular form over this Christmas period. It has been quite a bonanza for Desmond McDonough. He's managed to plunder two really big races here so far at this particular meeting, and that's one of the reasons why I want to get with Pack the Punch, who does have some decent form anyway. Particularly his last run, of course, which was a decent enough effort behind Drummer Coup, who's subsequently gone on to make a splash over fences. I am taking a bit of a chance, of course, that this horse handles the ground, because he hasn't been on ground as bad as this, but it certainly hasn't stopped Fiscal Focus and Theophilus as well. Both of those two horses from the McDonough barn have both bolted up here over the Christmas period, and this horse is available to back this morning around about the 6-1 mark. He doesn't look about each way bet from where I'm sitting. So that's the one I'm going to play the first.
Okay, next up is the 1250. It's a Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Qualifier over 3 miles. As always with these kind of races, Andy, it is a bit like equine bingo, isn't it? You've got many that you could give a chance to. There are a few at slightly bigger prices in this one than we normally see. And it's Dara Tango who heads affairs at 9-2. Ruby Walsh taking the ride on Tony Martin's charge there. But it'll have to be a pretty smart performance here to defy top weight.
Yeah, it will. It's a difficult betting race, this always is for me, because with the Potemps final course at the festival being the main target for quite a few of these, do horses want to be showing their hand at this stage? You know, this race could have more plots than an Agatha Christie novel, you'd imagine, with quite a bit of skullduggery going on down the field, particularly from yards and certain owners that like to lay one out for their festival runner. So we have to be careful here. You're pretty much sure that Dara Tango is the best horse in this race, and he comes in fantastic form. But does Tony Martin want to win this race and then bump his horse up, let's say, if he wins comfortably, an extra £7 or £8, which will get him into the mid-140 range? Or will he be happy with sort of second or third or fourth even? He qualifies him for the final. He doesn't do his mark any damage, and he still remains off 135. We certainly know that run last time out at Navan is the pick of the form. That was a real hot race, that 0-138, won by the very much informed Charles Burns, trained Light Duties. And Dara Tango moved really smoothly through that race to put it up to the eventual winner in the latter stages. They pulled well clear of the remarkably consistent Jenny's Jewel. The rest of them were strung out like washing. He stays the trip. He was third behind a Busson and Big Easy in that very good Bush race at Haydock the time before. So he ticks virtually every box, really. But I can say that's the only slight doubt with me at the back of my mind, with obviously being trained by Tony Martin. If he's allowed to run on his merits, then 9-2 looks a fair enough price. One lurking down the bottom of the weights, which I think will certainly outrun her odds anyway, is Triplets Joy, a horse who comes in fantastic form. This will be a serious jump up in class for this mare, but she's been in great nick throughout the last month or so, and her run the other day in a very hot race at Punchestown, I certainly think is worthy of a consideration here. Sorry, it's Fairy House, I beg your pardon. Of course, it was behind Abolitionist. I got that circuit time and a speed figure rating in that race. Pretty good for the grade. And we know that she goes in on the ground, as she proved the time before when she battled it out really nicely to win at the same track. Like I say, I think she's got to improve again to figure here. But at 10-1 off a lightweight, let's say, you know, there's no hidden agendas with her, really, in this race. I think she is what she is. She's coming in good form after a run 8 days ago. I just think Connections are looking to crack on with her. They found another opportunity. One or two of these horses in this race will be having another day, whereas this could well be her day. So Triplets Joy, each way, 10-1, would be the way to play that 12.50.
Okay, next up is the 120. It's a beginner's chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Some really nice types in this one, Andy. Not least Una 2, who made a reappearance just 21 days ago. A bounce factor would have to be an issue here, because he had been off the course for some time. But if bouncing back to anywhere near his best, the 2-1 on offer at the time of recording, which is about 9 a.m, would be looking very, very generous indeed.
Yeah, this one has got rather a cloud hanging over him for me to be warranting backing him at a short price. We all know that Una 2 on his day is a very good horse, as you pointed out. You know, even that fourth in the Supreme Novices Hurdle 2 years ago would be easily the pick of the hurdles form that this fielder has on offer, behind Champagne, West My Tenty, also of course Jet Ski. The role of honour, of course, is very significant. But he's run over fences first time. It has to be said, was really disappointing, and I'm not sure what William Hunt has made of that. It all depends, like I say, whether he bounces back to his best. But he is very much comes with his risks attached. And so does Levant Danton, a horse that I really like. But I've always had this horse down as a decent ground horse. I think Connections are desperate to try and avoid soft ground as best they can with him. On his day, he's really good, as he proved when he beat Emperor of Exmoor and Cheltenian at the Punchestown Festival last year. Decent run first time up over fences, well behind Real Steel, of course, has gone to be placed twice in Grade 1 company subsequently. So I think he's probably got the best form so far over fences, Levant Danton. But as expressed before, Elizabeth Dawes a little bit concerned about the ground for him. So I think this race could be open for a little bit of a shock, or a mini shock anyway, with Sizing Cadalco and Balbeer du Mathan. Particularly Sizing Cadalco, who chased down Clarkham. on his second start over fences. I think that's probably just as good a form as any in this race. Clarkham, of course, won the Grade 1 the other day. The main expense of Vato, of course, made a horrendous blunder down the back. But I don't think we should be underestimating Gordon Elliott's Clarkham. I think he's probably the best we've seen in Ireland so far, certainly from a consistent basis. His times have been fantastic, and he's certainly worthy of his place at the top of the arc or betting. And Sargent Cadalco chased him home. Henry de Bromhead's had a good meeting here so far with a couple of winners. And he went into the Christmas period in good form as well, with Doomsday Book, for instance, winning at Navan. So I think he's probably my number one choice. But don't underestimate Balbeer de Matan either. He's a lovely big chasing type by Saunders Sans. And he was in the process of running a huge race first time up at Ferry House. Went tumbling at the second last. It eventually allowed Adriano de Mott to go on to win that race. And that horse, unluckily, fell at the last the other day down in Limerick when he was putting it up to the eventual winner. So I think that form's pretty useful as well. So the way I'm going to play this race, I'm going to avoid the front two in the market because I think they've got their frailties. I'm probably going to back Sargent Cadalco and get somewhere around the 4-1 mark. And likewise, Balbeer de Matan.
OK, next up is the 150. It's the Christmas Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest over 3 miles. Some really high-class performers going to post here, Andy, but I think you could probably pick holes in a few of them for one reason or another. At the time of recording, we've still got the 8 runners, so this race could be pretty appealing from an each-way point of view.
Yeah, I was all over this race like a cheap suit last night when I spotted Jetson had been chalked up at 10-1. My eyes all of a sudden lit up, and I was trying to get a few of my pals and buddies to get on for me because I really do like this horse, Jetson. And what's not to like about him? He's as tough as they come. He's dined at the very top table and danced every dance in the last year or two, and he hasn't let connections down. And I think he's really come of age of late, and I don't think we should underestimate that victory in the Grade 1 at Punchestown last year when he beat the very best who came there at the right at their top of their game. But he beat the likes of Cuvega and at Fisher's Cross and Glen's Melody fairly comfortably, I thought, in the end. To thrust himself really into the big time. And prior to that, he'd just been running well in handicaps. So it was a real meteoric rise for Jetson. But his first run back certainly indicated he's going to be as good this year as he was last. I thought he travelled like the best horse in the race in that Grade 1 won by Lieutenant Colonel. But of course, that horse had already had the benefit of a previous run in a novice's chase at Nace. And I think it was just fitness that told on Jetson in the latter stages rather than anything else. But hopefully with the cobwebs blown away, we'll see Jessica Harrington's horse rise to the top here and certainly put it up to some of the big names here, including, of course, at Fisher's Cross again. He's asked to take on Lieutenant Colonel, Bryhill, Zaidpour, and, of course, Monksland, who's coming back off a long lay. I think he'd be very dangerous if Noel Mead's got him anywhere near his best. But with the dead 8 runners, with that run under his belt the other day, going back to Leopardstown on heavy ground, which he loves, it just simply has to be Jetson each way here. At 8-1 with William Hill, absolutely get stuck into that.
OK, Jetson, a pretty confident pick there in the 150, the Christmas Hurdle. Next up is the 220, the Novice Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles. One of the more open races of the day here, Andy. A few potential lurkers in there, the likes of Modem, of course, of Castlebar Sling. There's a few that we don't know a great deal about, and the ones that we do know about, How are you going to go for this one? Because you've got Shemshal in the market at 5-1, the market leader at the time of recording. A Grey Master 11-2. Sixes then for both Modem and Shabra's Bertolini. It looks a potential minefield, this one.
Actually, I quite like this race. I'm going to make this horse my nap of the day on the card. I really like the chances of Modem here from the Jessica Harrington stable. Jesse's horse has been in fantastic form throughout the Christmas period. Hopefully Jetson will strutty stuff and run another good race for connections in the 150 in the race before. But I really like this Modem, and I liked his performance the other day when he won and got off the mark over hurdles. That came, of course, at Navan. But it was also achieved in a very fast time for us clock watchers that spend a lot of time dissecting form and looking at speed figures and ratings, etc. But that race won by Modem that day was a really fast time. You know, Modem went along with a good, strong gallop, and I like the way he picked the field off in the latter stage and strode his way majestically up the hill as well, suggesting that he's a horse that's going to go forward in future races. The ground shouldn't necessarily be an issue. He's a very strong stayer. He'd handled the ground the time before in Garen. And, of course, that was in very deep company as well. That Duvan is one of the strong fancies for the Neptune already from the Willie Mullins camp. And the second horse, Sizing John, of course, won the Grade 1 here at Leopardstown here yesterday. So he's in very, very deep that day. And he's got quite a decent mark as well for his first run over hurdle, for his first handicap over hurdles. A mark of just 121. And we could be dealing with a horse who's a little bit better than that rating as the season progresses. So a decent bet here, I think, on the card, in the shape of Modam. He's around about a 5-1 poke this morning. Actually, 11-2 with William Hill, even more of an appetising bet. So let's get stuck into him each way and make him the best bet on the card.
OK, Modam pick then in the 220. Next up is the 255. It is the Lexus Chase. As we've already touched on, a superb renewal this year, Andy. At the time of recording, Bobsworth and Lord Windermere, the previous two Cheltenham Gold Cup winners, sit at the head of affairs at 4-1. 5-1 for Boston Bob, 11-2 Road to Riches, 7s for Sam Winner, 11s for Carlingford Loft, 12s First Lieutenant, 14s on his own, 16s for Home Farm, and 25-1 for Texas Jack. Over to you, Mr. Holding.
Yeah, this is an absolute belter, isn't it, this? It's going to warm the cockles of your heart, whatever the result, I think, because a lot of these horses are very dear to punters' hearts, aren't they? We've all got stories to tell about many of the big names in this. Bobsworth, of course, previous Gold Cup winner on the comeback trail. Boston Bob, a horse with a massive amount of potential but sometimes doesn't always put it all in. Lord Windermere, a real rags-to-riches story. Winner of the RSA and, of course, winner of the Gold Cup for Jim Colotti himself. A three-time Gold Cup winner. What a day that was for that particular trainer. Road to Riches, he's on definitely on the way up. Can he reproduce that Grade 1 win last time out in Down Royal when he lowered the colours of Rocky Creek and Boston Bob? We've got Sam Winner into the mix as well, who's edging himself up the Gold Cup trail as well after a smooth victory at Cheltenham and followed up by his win at Aintree. He took into the melting pot on his own, of course, was placed in the Gold Cup last year. The old guard, such as First Lieutenant. And he'd throw in Carlingford Lockers making his seasonal debut and Home Farm as well, who's on the rise for Henry de Bromhead. And this basically has everything that you'd require from a top-class three-mile chase. The way I'd probably play this race would be stick to the form that we saw here a season ago. And that was that novice chase that was fought out dramatically by Boston Bob, Lord Windermere and, of course, Texas Jack in the Dr. Moriarty chase. And it was just Boston Bob that came out in front on that occasion. And that's keeping together his run of successes here at Leopards Down. He's 2-2 at the track. And I thought he ran encouragingly. One of the strongest run races I've got so far this season on the clock at Punchestown. That was in the Grade 1 on the 7th of December when he couldn't keep up with Don Cassack in the closing stages. And he also made a bit of a mistake at the last, which dented his chances. Back in third was Lord Windermere, who also ran with a good deal of encouragement on his seasonal reappearance. That's the form that I like. It's the fastest time I've got so far this season, 3 mile chase, 2.5 mile chase wise. And I think stepping back up in trip, at a track where they've gone well before, both Boston Bob and Lord Windermere are sure to be there or thereabouts.
OK. If I was going to push you for one?
I'd split mistakes. I wouldn't play one over the other. I'm just going to back them both.
OK. 5-1 Boston Bob, 4-1 Lord Windermere at the time of recording, but promises to be a superb race. The final race on the card is the 325. It's a flat race over 2 miles. And we've got a short price one in here, Andy, at the time of recording. Up for review, of course, for Willie Mullins and Patrick Mullins, as short as 8-15. Hard to see past, or are you going to look for some each-way value here?
Yeah, it's a race I probably wouldn't bet in, really, to be honest. I'd very rarely bet in Irish bumpers unless I've either got some kind of form or somebody's telling me something that I don't already know. But it's interesting that there's been a bit of each-way cash already this morning for what may turn out to be Willie Mullins' second string, which is interesting. But up for review is a very short price favourite on the tissues, obviously owned by the Wiley, so suggesting he's going to be quite good. And reading Willie Mullins' comments on page 5 in the Racing Post today, he's come from a good bloodline as well. He's come from the John Costello Academy. He's won a point to point. And while connections are a little bit concerned about the testing ground, he's a strong staying style, should be able to handle the conditions, according to Willie Mullins. That's obviously a positive. On the other hand, however, Harbour Run shouldn't have any problems with the ground, says the master trainer. And he's been shown quite well on the gallop. So you pay your money, do you take your choice? Do you take a short price about the obvious one up for review? Or do you go with a sneaky each-way one, which quite a few punters look to be doing this morning? William Hill have already taken evasive action, 6-1 into 5-1, about Arbor Run. Should be a very interesting race, an intriguing one, one that will throw out plenty of winners in the future. But the safest option is to go with up for review.
OK, up for review, pretty hard to get away from in the bumper. Great stuff, Andy. Enjoy all the action on Sunday. Promises to be a superb day in Leopardstown, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.